All right. Thank you. Thanks, Julie and Stacy, for activating the call for us. We appreciate it. Okay. All right. Well, it's a few minutes after 10, and since we are getting started a little bit late, I'll go ahead and kick off the call. So good morning. Welcome to the November 20th, 2019 meeting of the Oregon Board of Accountancy Qualifications Committee. My name is Megan Kurz. I'm the committee chair, and I'd like to call the meeting to order at 10:05 a.m. Pacific time. I would also like to issue a reminder that this is a public call and is being recorded. And so with that, I'd like to go ahead and get started and conduct a roll call of all participants on the line, as well as in the building there in Salem. And let's go ahead and start with QC members to ensure that we have a quorum, and then we'll move on to board staff, applicants, and supervisor licensees, and anybody else on the line.
Nobody wants to admit it.
Qualifications committee members on the line or in the building, could you announce yourself, please?
This is Casey Camores.
Hi, Casey.
Hello.
Michael Smoot on the phone.
All the way from Disneyland.
Yep.
That sounds fun.
Well, it's raining right now, so it's better.
This is Nick Van Vliet.
Hi, Nick.
Good morning.
Ryan Kramer's on the line.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Norm was not going to be able to make it, and Haley was not going to be able to make it. Have we heard anything from Yvette?
Mm-mm. No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, there are five of us on the line. Julie, is that enough for us to continue to proceed with the call?
It is. As long as you remain at five, you're fine.
Okay. So then, thank you, QC members. Board staff and Mr. Morris, if you're available.
Stuart Morris, I'm in the office, in the board office.
Stacy James, board staff.
Good morning.
Julie Nadeau, board staff.
Great, thank you. Okay, so then we'll move on to applicants and supervisor licensees on the line. Applicants, could you please announce yourselves?
I'm Joanna Thorpe here. Okay.
So Josh Blackson with Joanna.
Any other applicants or supervisors?
Yeah, this is Aaron Russell. I think Megan might be here, my supervisor.
This is Mohan Shetty.
My name is Mohan.
And
this is Radha.
And I'm Kathleen Miller, Matt O'Grada's supervisor.
Colin Currier.
This is Mohan Shetty here. So yesterday I saw an email from Yvette saying that she won't be able to attend the call. I think it was Mark sent to Stacy, so I'm not sure who is going to present my application.
Great, thank you. Okay, did I hear another applicant?
I'm lying.
Good morning. Okay. So it sounds like we have all applicants on the line and three supervisors at this time. Is there anyone else on the line that has not identified themselves?
Oh, goodness, I didn't get that until 5 o'clock last night.
Okay. All right, so our next order of business under item 2 includes a review and approval of the agenda that was circulated. And to the committee, if there are no changes or adjustments to the agenda, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
This is Casey. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Thanks, Casey. Do we have a second?
This is Michael. Second.
Thanks, Michael. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. All right, so moving on then to the next item on the agenda, item 3, that is the report of board action. So Mr. Morris, I heard you on the line. I was wondering if you could please help provide us with a synopsis of the last board meeting and then any other information that would be helpful for us as a committee.
The board accepted all of the applications that were submitted at the last meeting, board meeting. Everyone was approved. We did discuss some new business, which is the revision to the rules. And if any of you have had a chance to see it, there's very small changes to the qualifications committee. That's on their pages 11 through 45, 11 of 45, and on page 24 and 25 for the PA license. That's CPAs and PAs. If you get a chance to look it over there, as I said, there's not much change. It's just some wordsmithing to kind of clean up the rules. And that will be approved here shortly. The open dates are when?
The public hearing is December 3rd. That's a Tuesday. And then the board will be considering all public comments at their meeting on December 6th.
And that's about all we had from the board last time.
Okay, thank you for that. We appreciate it. It's really helpful to get the report of board action, and you know, us on the committee as volunteers, we really appreciate the feedback that you guys are able to provide to us, and you know, we appreciate your leadership and support through this process. Okay. So then the next item on the agenda is item 4, which is the pending applications area. Right now we've got 5 current applications and 2 deferred applications from the September 11th, 2019 meeting. So all applicants are on the line, so I think we will proceed in just the order that they are on the agenda. But as we get started, I just wanted to send a couple of quick reminders out to the group. We have found in the past that when we open the application up for discussion prior to making a motion, that it can help improve the efficiency of the process. Also, I think for Julie and Stacy's benefit, if we are abstaining from voting on an application, because you feel it would impair your independence or objectivity or competence, please just let us know the reason for the abstention so that the staff can make those notes in the file. So, any questions or comments before we dive into the application?
Hey, this is Ryan. Can I just maybe make a request? It sounds like maybe the note-taking in the room there is very close to the microphone. Is there a possibility that there's a little...
Good night. Are you there?
We are.
Okay, good. Okay, I moved the Polycom down a little bit. I was afraid I disconnected.
Okay, thank you.
There we go.
All right. So with that, I'd like to turn the call over to Nick Van Vliet to cover the application of Joanna Sexton.
Thanks, Megan. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right. So Joanna Sexton is applying for certification based on experience at Pacific Retirement Services, where she's worked since 2014. Pacific Retirement Services is a nonprofit organization that develops and or operates retirement communities, low-income housing, and other housing types of housing developments. Joanna's duties and experience at PRS include preparation of financial statements for two of the retirement communities and the accounting for several areas within those financial statements. She also has various accounting duties supporting some of the HUD low-income housing entities within the organization, and other duties include responsibilities related to budgeting, debt compliance analysis, and cash management. Joanna submitted a strong initial application. She did an excellent job of incorporating additional information in response to my suggestions. And with those changes, I believe she's met the requirements of each of the competencies. So with that introduction, turn it over to the committee. I'd be happy to answer any questions or entertain any comments.
This is Casey. I just wanted to kind of follow up with you and say, yes, that was, she's got a great application. I thought it was very strong. So just to put that out there.
Yeah, this is Michael. Not to piggyback on, but I really appreciated all the illustrations and the examples. Made it, you know, nice to be able to see exactly what she was speaking to. So thank you.
This is Megan. I concur.
Ryan as well. This is very thorough.
Thank you for that feedback. So any other comments before we move to a motion? All right. Hearing none, then I would move that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Joanna Sexton has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Thanks, Nick.
This is Casey. I'll second.
Thanks, Casey. Hey, the motion on the table is to approve the application. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you much. We will sign off.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so the next and current application on the list is Apeksha Shah with Ryan Kramer as the committee member assigned to that. Ryan, did you want to go ahead and cover the application?
Sure. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So I have the application of Apeksha Shah. She is a senior accountant for Pelco. Pelco is in the business of security cameras and surveillance, and recently split from apparent Schneider Electric. She's been there in that senior accountant role from June 2018 until now, and she reports currently to Mansoor Alvi, who is the CFO, and is her supervising signer. Her responsibilities currently include accounts payable, fixed assets, certain treasury accounting functions, and month-end close, including P&L review. I reviewed her application, and I had some questions for her on pretty much every competency, but the questions range from minor questions or comments about her examples that were easily addressed to a couple more significant requests for additional examples or greater detail. I'm certainly happy to go into a couple of those examples, but would like to also open it up to discussion among the committee. And if people think it would be helpful to go over a couple of those examples, I'm happy to.
This is Casey. I guess I'll jump in. I think it'd be beneficial to go through some of them, but I had some concerns. I mean, I think the updates were good, but I definitely still have some concerns on competencies B, C, D, and E. So, I mean, I'd be happy to discuss those more if other people have similar concerns.
Casey, did you say B, C, D, and E?
Yes.
Thank you.
This is Nick. I had concerns and some observations in competencies B and D.
And this is Megan. I was B and E.
Also say B and D.
Mm-hmm,
she
yes.
said B and E.
Oh. D is in E. Yes. I'm sorry. D is in dog. E is in elephant.
Oh, no. D and E. I had B and E.
B and D.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay. So I'm hearing questions or concerns that cover competencies B, C, D, and E with multiple references to, I guess actually all four of those competencies have at least two, according to my notes. Maybe I'll just cover a couple of my examples of feedback provided. So in competency B, in terms of focus on the impact of regulatory or economic factors and business on the company, I noted that she didn't really have examples of where she assessed the objectives and goals and performance measures and critical success factors, and asked that she include some detailed examples of how she does that in her role, using... she mentioned a couple times in the narrative that cash flow had become a significant focus for the company following the divest from their former parent, and suggested going into some additional details on that competency in particular. I also, no one mentioned it, but competency F was a focus area for me in terms of, given this is a CPA application, I always look for evidence that the candidates have the ability and experience in doing technical accounting research and being able to apply the results of their research to issues that they are experiencing, and asked her for some additional explanation or examples about how she did technical accounting research and was able to apply the conclusions to the business. Competency G, I also had questions in terms of the example was about educating the engineering director about the accounting requirements for R&D. And I think the initial example indicated sending articles or other materials that she had found to the engineering director. And for me, that was a significant point of feedback that as a CPA, I think the competency is really looking at the ability to educate people that in the business that are not necessarily accountants about the impact and help them understand, kind of bring them them along and up to speed and help them understand. And I was really looking for more of an example there for that coming through in terms of being able to educate the business and people that are not necessarily accountants or have that understanding, but it's relevant for their area of the business. I did think that on these areas that her edits, she did a good job of adding color in those areas. That made it clear what she had done. I think it would be really beneficial given the multiple comments on competency B, C, and D, if the group could provide some more specific examples within those competencies of their concerns or questions that they have, so that Apeksha could provide some commentary.
Okay, thanks for the summary, Ryan. I appreciate it. And I agree. I think it's very helpful from the candidate's perspective to be able to provide them some more detailed feedback so that they can turn around and kind of regress that into the narrative for the next pass. Casey, did you want to kick it off with your feedback?
Sure. Be happy to. So on competency B, I still felt like the application was a little thin, kind of just what you were speaking to, but I thought it was thin on the examples of exactly how the critical success factors and performance measures are examined and monitored, and the narrative doesn't dig at all into knowledge of various business organizations, so that was my concern there. In competency C, she provides two examples, but I would have just liked more detail. I would like to know more about what's in the work paper, more how it was put together. I just didn't feel like I got a good grasp of what it looked like. For competency D, I thought it was a little slim on the aggregation to the organizational level and how transactions affect the organization as a whole. Didn't feel like there was enough of that for me. And then on competency E, these just didn't strike me. I mean, we kind of always go through this conversation, so I struggle with competency E no matter what, but I didn't feel like these were exactly risk assessment. I think we always kind of go back and forth in that area because it is industry, so it's a little bit harder to actually have a comprehensive risk assessment, example for each applicant. So those were my comments.
Can I ask a question? What was your comment on competency C again?
So C, I'm looking at my notes, let me pull up the application. It looked like there were two examples. There were two examples, and I just felt like there could have been more detail around those examples. I don't remember everything from reading it, so I'd have to go back and look at it more specifically. But that's what my notes say.
Okay. And I do echo your comment on competency E. I should have mentioned that when I reviewed that. The two comments that I really had was in the initial draft, it was a risk identified by the auditor, which I had suggested replacing with an example of where she performed a risk assessment and identified the risk or weakness and assessed whether the financial statements were accurate. And then the second comment was clarity on what the specific risk was. So the example that was originally in the narrative was the analysis of the financial statements and applying a threshold to the trial balance and asking that it sounded like the analysis and the threshold was generic to all accounts in the trial balance and not necessarily demonstrating the competency. And so trying to focus more on examples of the evaluation of risk of misstated financial data in the with a particular focus to an area of the financials and the assessment of risk in that area, which is where I think the example about R&D expenditures came in, but I do agree that that there could be greater detail, and this tends to be a competency that is a bit of a focus area for many applicants.
Yeah, I think on that one, I feel like I could have gotten there if all the other competencies, and based off what the committee thoughts were. But I agree with you.
I had similar thoughts on E. From my standpoint, there were a lot of procedures or controls that were happening that were discussed that were kind of in response to a risk. but it wasn't really kind of that leading edge identification on the candidate's part. It was kind of like, hey, I do this reconciliation so that, you know, it mitigates the risk of X, Y, or Z. So I can tell that the candidate understands what a risk is. I just don't know that there was enough meat on the bone for me to say, hey, this person has really good experience in going out there with a blank sheet and identifying what those risks are kind of on their own from a kind of independent critical thinking standpoint. So that was my feedback on competency E. And then on competency D, the examples to me seemed very siloed versus kind of at that full financial statement level. I would really love to see this application after the organization completes its implementation of NetSuite, because I think that there are going to be some good opportunities for the candidates to potentially get some good experience in this realm as part of that process.
And that was competency D as in Dom, correct?
Yeah.
This is Nick. I'll just add a couple things. I agree. My concerns were around competencies B and D, and I agree with the comments on B. The one thing that stood out for me was I thought it was missing the evaluation of objectives and goals. It was helpful to hear Ryan talk about the reference to cash flow, but I didn't see that direct connection to objectives and goals in the competency. And I guess even with that, if that is the only example, I think it'd be helpful to have more than one example to really demonstrate the understanding of that. And then the other point in B was, would have liked to have seen a little bit more depth to the discussion of economic trends. And then in D, I felt like the one thing that stood out to me was in the example, the discussion related to accounting for R&D, I thought that that paragraph could have been strengthened if there was some specific discussion around what the company's accounting policies related to R&D were and a specific site as to GAAP, because the default for R&D is expense. But there, you know, there are circumstances where you can capitalize certain items. So it would have been helpful to have some more just specific details around the policies and GAAP guidance, and then how PEXA got to the point where the conclusion was to capitalize some of those items.
Any other feedback on the application before Ryan presents the motion?
Okay. So it sounds, based on the comments, that there is additional work needed on competency B, C, D, and E before I take a motion. I don't know if it's okay to ask for agreement on competency B, C, D, or E. And also, too, is Apeksha on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Do we think that that based on our comments, I guess I would ask you, are the comments that from the committee members clear to you? And obviously we can work more offline on the narrative, but do you have any questions related to the comments that have been made on your application thus far?
No, I guess it would be helpful if I can work with you offline and get a more thorough narrative put together for next time.
Okay. So based off of the discussion, I would move to defer the application of Apeksha Shah pending additional documentation required for competencies B, C, D, and E.
This is Nick. I'll second.
Great. Thanks, Brian and Nick. All those in favor of the motion to defer based on B, C, D, and E?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. Okay. So the next application on the list is Aaron Russell. Haley was unable to make the call this morning, so Casey, I believe you are going to cover the application in her absence, if that's okay?
Sure, I'm happy to. Trying to check something. So Haley did just email her comments here, so I'll read them. Dear committee, I was assigned Aaron Russell's application for review, and due to other professional and personal commitments, I was not able to provide feedback in a timely manner, so you will note that this is his initial submission. I apologize if this has caused additional work for the rest of the committee. I have submitted my resignation from the committee effective at the end of the day, but have enjoyed the opportunity to contribute to the profession, work with all of you, and will consider reapplying at a time when my other commitments allow me to meet the requirements of participation in the future. Aaron worked for Cambia Health and participated in their CPA program. His period of qualified supervision spans 23 months, almost 2 years, under their assistant director. From review of the organizational chart, it appears that if there was one degree of separation from direct reporting, but per the narrative, he met weekly with the qualified supervisor to discuss competencies and assignments that helped him attain the required competencies. He provided great examples throughout the write-up and has most likely attained the required competencies. However, I believe he needs to revise the narrative to better correlate the examples to the required competencies. For example, on C, he talks about technical medical loss ratio, but it is related to preparation of a form rather than documentation of an accounting issue on which a conclusion was developed. Another example is on E, in which he describes many things he does to identify errors, but he doesn't clearly make the connection to why he did them and how it translated to the relevant risk. I would recommend deferral to enhance documentation on B, C, D, E, and F, but would open it up to the committee for discussion. So that is the end of, or thanks again, highest regards. That's the end of her comment. So I guess I'll open up to the committee, and as a committee member, I'd like to say that I agree. I believe that Mr. Russell's examples, like throughout his application, I believe he has really strong examples, and I believe he does have the competencies. I just don't believe that they show through in the narrative themselves. So I agree with Haley's assessment. I believe for competency B, I wish there was more discussion of various business organizations and the analysis of performance measures and critical success factors. For C, I think that there are many good examples, but he doesn't really dig deep into any of them. So I would prefer like 2 to 4 examples where he actually describes what is in the work paper and how he prepares it, et cetera. For D, it doesn't discuss transaction aggregation at the organizational level, how transactions impact the organization as a whole, internal control related to information system aspects. Throughout this competency, it just needs more examples and more detail. And then for E, I did not find these to be risk assessment in the sense that we require it. And then for F, for me, it doesn't really seem to capture the essence of the competency for me.
Thanks, Casey, both for presenting Haley's recommendations as well as your additional input. I concur on competency E. I think there was a lot of risk verification discussion, not as much risk assessment discussion. So I think it would be helpful to see a bit more included on that note. And then on F, there was a lot of good regulatory
guidance, not as much specifically related to FASB or GAAP guidance. So I think that was another area that would be helpful to provide a bit of additional context. And I agree with you. I think based on the number of years of experience that the candidate has with Cambia Health, there's no doubt that they have this experience. I think it's just a little sprucing up of the documentation.
This is Ryan. I think, first of all, I had a note on competency A, which is fairly minor, but the example seemed to focus to me primarily on objectivity, professional judgment, due care, and professional skepticism. And I think the example on independence refers to the concept of a professional with equal training coming to the same result, which is not necessarily what I was looking for on independence, and so I think I'm looking for additional examples on both independence and integrity for the application. And then competency F, and I think this has come through in the comments thus far, but I felt as a whole the narrative was more focused on behavioral aspects of his job in terms of what he does, but lacking the experiential kind of aspect of those examples. And so on competency F, an example of this is technical accounting research and the conclusion. The narrative indicates that he had to learn about the statutory requirements for the sale of stop-loss insurance policies to make sure the financial statements were correct. But I was looking for an example of that, like going into greater detail about that research and the conclusions applied and the effect that it has on Cambia's business. And I think that that is somewhat representative of the other competencies and going a layer deeper into an actual example of what is done and the conclusions reached and how it relates to the company.
Thanks, Ryan. Any other feedback on the application?
This is Nick. I would just, my comments were mainly in competencies B and C. In B, I think all the committee members' comments are valid related to this application and good advice for the applicant. In B, one thing that stood out to me was I didn't feel like there was a discussion of evaluation of performance measures and critical success factors. And then in C, in paragraph 6, and I think this is a specific example that speaks to some of the other recommendations for the application, but there was discussion of some ambiguity related to disclosure of payments to health services providers, but I didn't feel like there was specific definition around what the ambiguity was, what the alternatives were for interpretation, and what the implications were, and then what statutory accounting guidance would have what accounting guidance would have a bearing on kind of the final decision.
Okay. So just to confirm, I think we have competencies A. We have concern about competencies A, B, C, D, E, and F. Is that correct? For every competency but G.
That sounds right, Keith.
Okay. Okay, so are there any other comments? I'd be happy to make to move to defer the application. Okay, I move to defer the application for Aaron Russell's pending additional documentation of competencies A, B, C, D, E, and F.
This is Nick, second.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Any opposed, I guess? Okay, any abstentions? Great, the motion passes. Thank you. Okay. So the next applicant on the list is Colin Currier. And I believe there was an email that circulated just prior to the call that is part of or should be considered in conjunction with the application. So as we're going through that, just want to make sure that everybody saw that note come through. And if not, I'd be happy to summarize. But Casey, I think this is your application, so I'll let you go ahead and take the floor.
Wonderful. Thank you, Megan. So I reviewed Mr. Currier's application. Mr. Currier has worked for Hampton Lumber since June of 2016. He serves as the corporate accountant, or he served as the corporate accountant until May of 2018 under Ms. LaValle. He was then promoted to sales account analyst, working under the direct supervision of Mr. T, who is the financial manager. Mr. Currier meets with Mr. T approximately 2 to 3.5 hours per week, including formal and informal meetings. So they do have a lot of contact. In Mr. Currier's current role, he's responsible for maintaining schedules for federal and state income tax returns, ensuring compliance with state sales tax and use tax laws, scheduling all necessarily related payments as well. He also manages treasury and the general ledger for the wholesale operation, including month, quarter, and year-end closings, and then a variety of other duties as well. Overall, in my opinion, Mr. Currier's original application was in really good shape. However, I did still provide comments and suggestions on competencies B, C, D, E, and F. My suggestions consisted of tightening up some of the language, moving a few items around, providing more examples and more detail in some areas. He updated his application, and in my opinion, he's provided sufficient evidence that he has obtained the requisite competencies. Specifically, Mr. Currier has presented a well-developed application with a sufficient number of examples that are explicitly tied to the requirements and contain sufficient detail to exhibit his experience and knowledge. I do intend to recommend approval of his application and will open up the discussion for questions and comments from the committee.
This is Ryan.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say I second your comments. I thought it was a good.
This is Megan. I agree as well. What I really liked about this application was that, it was concise but still showed a lot of depth, and I thought a really nice blend of not only just a very, strong accounting background and standpoint, but also weaved in a lot of kind of economic and finance concepts, which I think showed a really well-rounded applicant and did a nice job of conveying all of those in a concise way.
Thank you.
This is Nick. I agree. Very strong application and good evidence offered for all the competencies.
This is Michael. I really appreciated competency E. I know that one can be challenging at times, and I thought there was a lot of thought that went into that to really step back and provide their role in the risk assessment process, and some really good examples in there. So I appreciated that.
And then this is Megan again. From my perspective, I think including the final revised narrative that came through with the additional supervisor sign-off was very helpful, because there were quite a few references to, quote-unquote, my prior role, all with Hampton Lumber, but it was, at times it was a little unclear whether it referred to one supervisor or the prior supervisor. So when we received the revised narrative with that final sign-off, that kind of sealed it for me. So thank you for submitting that, Julie.
No, that was
I also
easy.
Just want to... Well, I should have caught it earlier, but I just really appreciate everybody rallying, including the applicant and his supervisor and BOA staff, just rallying, getting that done, because I would have just... It would have been horrible to have to hold them off. So I'm really impressed with everybody. okay, so I think I'll make a Well, I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Colin Currier has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Thanks, Casey. Do we have a second?
This is Michael. Second.
Great. Thanks, Michael. The motion on the floor is to approve the application of the candidate Colin Currier. All those in favor?
Aye.
Great. Any opposed? And any abstentions? Great. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Colin, I'd just like to thank you guys very much for your time today and also for your flexibility this morning. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Colin.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, you guys have a great one.
Thank you. So the next application on the list is for Kevin Thorpe, which was reviewed by Norm Rush. Norm was unable to make the call this morning, so he has provided his summary notes, and then of course we've all reviewed the application as well. So, you know, one of the things I'll do is just go through on a brief basis and review some of the cliff notes that Norm provided, as well as his recommendation on the application, and then of course we'll open it up for discussion. So Kevin Thorpe is employed with Intel and has gone through the Intel MOU program. There are three different supervisors that are signing off on the application covering the various periods of employment, which is about close to 70 months worth of employment. So the applicant passed their exams in November of 2013 and the ethics exam in November of 2014. So quite some time he's had those under his belt. Under the supervision category, so as I mentioned before, three separate supervisors for a period of employment included in the application and a direct reporting relationship per the organizational charts. And then all three supervisors did indicate that the applicant met all of the competencies, so pretty strong evidence on that standpoint. Let's see. So in particular, Norm had some commentary related to competencies D and E, which I'll cover. He did have notes on each of the competencies, but I'll go ahead and open it up to the committee before we get into that level of detail. So for competency E, Norm specifically stated that the narrative provided specific examples of preparing new product system validation testing, which included mock transactions and documentation of the underlying process flow in the ERP system, starting from the purchase of raw materials to the proper classification in the financial statements of the eventual consumption and inclusion in finished goods, performing an analysis of the entity's VAT accounts and related transaction flows, and leading a team of system analysts and accounts to analyze and improve Intel's financial analysis and reporting process. So that was the kind of summation of the competency E. So Norm's commentary is that the narrative for this competency provides specific examples of performing test work for Intel's manual accrual processes, identifying weaknesses and communicating recommendations, being responsible for SOX controls related to segregation of duties, identifying weaknesses and communicating recommendations, as well as reviewing raw material price variances, identifying apparent red flags, and communicating recommended process improvements. All in all, Norm felt that the application represented the competencies well and is proposing that we make a motion to approve the application. So with that, I guess I'd like to open it up for any questions or commentary.
This is Nick.
Go for it, Nick.
Thank you. I had observations on competencies A, B, and F. And I refer to them as observations because depending on what others' comments are, I can note what my specific concerns were, which were pretty narrow in each of those competencies. But I would like to hear thoughts of others.
My questions were a little more administrative in nature, so maybe we can talk through the, any additional comments on the specific competencies. Casey, did you have something that you were going to bring up?
Yeah, sorry. I started talking and then realized my mute was on. And then I heard you. I was like, oh, I'm on mute. I actually had concerns on different competencies. I mean, I had concerns on competencies C, D, E, and F. I mean, I felt like the examples were great, right? Like, good, solid examples. I'm sure he's got the experience. But for me, in all these competencies, it just doesn't give enough detail. Like, for competency C, I want to know what's in the work papers. How are they developed? What were the conclusions? Like, It seems like in each of these examples, it's just too high level. I want more detail. So, again, for, like, competency D, again, great examples, but need more detail. Tell us how they did it, not just what they did, you know? For competency E, I, again, felt like that was too thin. How do you identify the risks? Where are these risks? And it didn't, for me, I mean, Norm's commentary maybe gets me a little bit farther along. Initially reading it, I was kind of like, this isn't totally risk assessment. And then in F, again, I just needed, like, more substance, like, more detail. So that was, those were my concerns.
That's helpful. Any other questions or items to add related to the application? I think that, you know, my feedback is similar, particularly considering the fact that, you know, there are close to 6 years of experience included in the application. I'm sure that, you know, they were trying to be really concise with the documentation and not get too deep. However, I think that it is necessary to strike a balance and provide that additional layer of detail to really get that rich depth and make sure that we feel confident that there really is the experience there to help support what they're stating in the narrative. Any other?
So this is Nick. Let me just add the specific observations I had in each of these competencies to complement that discussion. So in A, my issue was I didn't really see strong examples of professional judgment called out specifically. In B, would have liked to have seen more discussion regarding regulatory and economic trends. I thought that was missing. And in F, what didn't jump out to me was evidence of technical accounting research and conclusions.
Thank you, Nick. Okay, so right now we've got A, B, and F on the table. All right, any other items for consideration before we move ahead and try to entertain someone to make a motion?
Hey, Megan, if we're going back, I think E probably, I know Norm has some commentary on it, but if the applicant is going back to revise other competencies, E is probably an area too where some of that risk assessment could get in there and kind of some of that additional commentary that Norm provided that would be good to have the application or the, include that as well. It overall was helpful, but if it's going back, might as well.
Yes.
Have a question.
Okay. Okay. So then, based on the feedback received from the group, Julie, is it okay for me to go ahead and make a motion on Norm's behalf that is revised?
It is, yes.
Excellent. Okay. So I would move to defer the application of Kevin Thorpe pending additional documentation on competencies A, B, E, and F.
Is Casey all second?
Thanks, Casey. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Perfect. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great, the motion passes. Okay. So that is those are all of the applications that are new for the period. We do have two applications that were deferred from our prior call in September. It sounds as though both applicants are on the line. And let's see. Julie, did we hear anything from Yvette? Or Yvette, have you joined the call?
I believe she told staff that she would not be in attendance today.
I received an email at 5:30 last night.
Okay.
Let me check.
Great. Did she provide any commentary on her application?
I'm checking. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's my laptop has tiny writing. For competency A, he added information about objectivity, specifically in regards to preparing footnote discussions for periodic SEC filings. He talks about finding
it. Quick.
I'm sorry?
Stacey, sorry. I just want to make sure that we had some notes.
We do. I apologize.
That's okay. So it sounds like we're going ahead and jumping to item 4B2 on the list, which is the application of Mohan Shetty. Is that right?
Yes.
Great. Okay, thank you. Could you go ahead and proceed with the comments? I'm sorry, I just want to make sure we were all on the same page.
She had him make some revisions for competencies A, E, and F, and I can go through those specifically if you would like. After allowing time for discussion at the meeting, she would make a motion to approve his application. And Megan, I'm forwarding the email to you right now.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the meantime, while I wait for that to come through and can take a quick review, maybe we can open it up for discussion among the group. So the specific detail in the note provided from Yvette is related to competency A. The applicant added information about objectivity, specifically in regards to preparing footnote disclosures for periodic SEC filings. He talked about finding an error in a financial statement for administrative costs for a lease liability. He describes his process of researching accounting guidance and calculating the financial impact and how he confirms that that error wouldn't have had a material impact on the disclosures. So again, a reminder to the group, the application was deferred previously at our prior meeting for competencies A, E, and F only. So the notes that I went through were the revisions related to competency A, which are shown as bolded and underlined within the revised narrative. Any questions on the updates to Competency A before we move on to the updates that were made to Competency E? So moving on to the updates for Competency E, in regards to risk assessment, the candidate added an example of his responsibilities over the internal controls related to accounting for leases. He designed and implemented internal controls for processes related to the new lease accounting standards, ASC 842, and was also instrumental in his company's implementation of a new lease query system. The candidate tested the effectiveness of the controls within the system, and he designed additional controls over accuracy and completeness of the data to mitigate the risk of material misstatement in financial reporting. He provided training to users on how to use the new system and the new control processes that needed to be followed. And again, those updates to the narrative begin on page 9 of the application and are in bold and underlined font. Any questions or comments? So then the final competency that the application was deferred for previously was competency F, to which Yvette's notes state that in regards to technical research, the candidate added information about research he did for the requirements of ASC 360, property, plant, and equipment, and ASC 820, fair value measurements. So these are in addition to the references made to ASC 842, the implementation of the new lease accounting standard, which was discussed previously in competency E.
So for competency F, I did have some comments. I just didn't feel like it's robust enough. I mean, the applicant discusses impairment, cash flows, fair value, but what about just simply what the competency requires, which is like profitability, liquidity, solvency, operating cycle, achievement of management plans, accomplishment of service efforts and systems. And I couldn't recall if those items were specifically discussed when they were originally deferred, but it seemed like there's a big chunk of information there missing for me. It might just be me.
Can I say something here?
Please.
This is Mohan Shetty.
Thank you, Mohan. Please go ahead.
So when the application was originally discussed, it was pointed out that it's missing the information related to research on accounting standards, specifically related to risk competency. So I added the research part to it. And in terms of analyzing the trends and all, I have some bullet points in that same competency where I talk about analyzing the historical trends for operating cost and overheads, comparing revenue projections over the long term to market assumptions developed by internal groups in Transocean, and also comparing it to third-party analyst projections. So I have some points added in there about the analytical approach that I follow. So the missing portion was on the accounting research portion, which I added in this updated narrative.
Thank you. I think that context is helpful. And I also see sometimes we have situations where competency B, which talks about key performance indicators,
and developing and analyzing other performance measures and trends, and competency F can have some commingled concepts occasionally. I do see some discussion about the offshore drilling and the cyclicality of that industry discussed in competency B, so I'm not sure if potentially in from a holistic standpoint, Casey, I'm not sure if that helps.
Sure. I mean, I felt like overall it was in a much better position, you know, so I don't know that this one piece was going to hold me up too much. But, you know, both hearing from the applicant and kind of your perspective is helpful.
Thanks, guys, and thanks for your flexibility in the kind of last-minute change-up in the presentation on the application. Any other commentary before I go ahead and convey that motion? Hearing none, I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Mohan Shetty has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
This is Nick. I'll second.
Nick. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so our final application for the morning is Matthew Ogata. And Stacy and or Julie, do you mind giving us kind of a quick overview? I saw a note through just kind of minutes before the call started. Could you maybe walk us through what has transpired and if we all have the most recent copy of the application in hand?
The most recent copy of the application is what was emailed this morning. When I put, when I grabbed the revised narrative, I'm sorry, this is Stacy. When I grabbed the revised narrative and I put it in there, I grabbed it from the wrong email. And so Michael called this morning and told me that we had his revised, not his post-deferred revised. So the post-deferred revised narrative is what was sent this morning.
Perfect. Okay, so we received, to the committee, we received that application for review at approximately 9:59 this morning, just prior to the start of the call. I know I personally did not have an opportunity to review, so I'm not prepared to. I'm not prepared personally to vote. How are the rest of you guys feeling?
This is Casey. I'm in the same boat. I don't feel prepared to vote.
This is Ryan.
Okay. So Julie and Stacy, I guess we would kind of look to you guys. I don't know that this constitutes necessarily another deferral of the application. I don't know that that should show up on the candidate's record, so to speak, if that's even a thing. I don't know. But I think we will probably need to push this application to the January meeting.
Yeah, first of all, I mean, a deferral is not like a black mark at all. So I don't believe that anybody looks back and says, oh, you were deferred twice. You're not, you know. So I'm not concerned about that part. It will probably, if you're not prepared, I mean, yeah, if you're not able to discuss the application today, then it would need to go to the January meeting. We are currently looking at January 8th. I know it says to be determined at the bottom of your agenda because the board hasn't adopted the final calendar yet. But if the board adopts the way we think they may, we are looking at January 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, definitely. I think we've got that under new business on the next session.
Can I just ask, is there a way to, I mean, can we take an hour break and reconvene, or is that not appropriate?
Will that give you enough time to review it?
It would give me enough time, but
I know
everyone's busy. And
yeah, I'm Michael's at Disneyland, so I want to protect that family time as well. Michael, what do you think?
Right.
I don't know if people have time right now, but
yeah, I mean, personally, I think an hour is time to review it, but I don't know that we all have time in an hour.
I would say, I mean, I, you know, having worked back and forth, which to add context, you know, thank you to Matt, you know, obviously no fault of his own. He's been very good about making all the edits, and we've been working back and forth, so I have the most up-to-date version. And so, you know, all the additions are extremely helpful, and we went back through and reconciled all the comments. But, you know, I would guess if people had time, 15 minutes to get through it, but obviously that would be, you know, looking at it immediately. And so I don't know if people have time for that. I'm happy to, you know, jump back on in 15, 20 minutes. An hour might be a little bit challenging, but obviously I want to make sure people have sufficient time to be able to vote.
Yeah, I mean, I can do it unless I just thought we should at least discuss it just in case it would work.
So it's up to you. I mean, we can pause for 15 minutes if 15 minutes is sufficient. We could, you know, like take a break, which is fine. Or you can defer to the January meeting, or you can, we could even have schedule a separate call, you know, tomorrow just for this one. I mean, you know, it would be very, well, not tomorrow. We have to give 48 hours notice for a public meeting. So you could do Friday if we posted it today and have a quick call. We just have to make sure we have a quorum. And it doesn't have to be Friday.
Maybe mute our line for 15 minutes, check back in at 11:30 Pacific time to see if that provided everybody enough time to just scan through. I mean, the edits are substantial. The application was deferred on all competencies previously. So, you know, I think this is something that we want to be really thoughtful about and read very carefully.
Right.
So maybe we'll check back in 15 minutes if everybody thinks that sounds like a good game plan. And then if we're feeling like, yeah, we're going in a good direction, we could always spend a few more minutes finalizing a review. Or if we just don't think that that's going to be enough time, we can make a call from there.
So, Megan, you're
that
on board with that? Okay, I was going to say, can we poll all five people and make sure that we'll still be good at that point? So, Megan, you're good?
Yep.
Casey?
I'm good.
Michael?
Yep, I'm good.
And Nick?
Works for me.
And who am I missing?
Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Okay, I agree. That works.
Okay, so we will pause the recording, and we'll leave the Polycom on so that if anybody has questions or pops in, we're still here. Actually, I can't do that because it wouldn't be recorded. So we'll just pause for a break, and we'll come back on at 11:30. Okay?
Sounds good.
So you'll need to dial in at 11:30. We'll have the same numbers.
Thank you.
Sounds like a bunch of people came on.
Welcome back. How are we doing?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. It's approximately 11:31. I guess first maybe we should conduct an updated roll call of committee members to make sure we have everyone present. This is Megan.
Michael's on.
This is Nick.
And do we have Ryan? Well, hopefully Ryan's clock is just a little off from ours.
Perfect. Okay, we'll give him a couple of minutes. I guess in the meantime, we could move ahead to the additional agenda items, or I could take a quick litmus test for the four members that are on the line to see if we think that that hiatus was enough time to review the application, or if it's a no-go. And
I just want to say, technically, we are not allowed to conduct any business whatsoever without a quorum. So just okay. Keeping that in mind, don't get too far into a discussion. I mean, you could give a yeah, I need more time maybe, but not any discussion about the application.
No.
Okay.
Great. Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. So I was just looking for kind of a quick litmus on whether we thought we were going to need more time or not.
This is Nick. I thought the time was sufficient.
Okay.
This is Casey. I'd agree.
Okay, great.
I just heard a big Ms. Ryan on the line.
Yeah, I just joined. Sorry.
Hi, Ryan. No, you're good.
Okay, so we're just getting kind of back into the review. So we've taken about a 15 to 20 minute break to have an opportunity to review the application of the revised application of Matthew Ogata. On the line from a QC standpoint, we have Casey Cameron, Michael Smoot, Nick Van Vliet, Ryan Kramer, and Megan Kurz. Again, this call is being recorded. I'll go ahead and pass on a full roll call, but I do think that I hear Julie Nadeau and Stacey James on the line.
Yes, and Stu Morris is in our office as well.
I'm still here.
Great. Hi again, Stu. Thank you.
Okay.
And then previously, Kathleen Miller and Matthew Ogata were on the line. Have you joined back on the line?
Yeah, this is Matthew Ogata. I'm back on. I am unsure if Kathy was able to join. She's out and about today, so.
Okay, no problem. All right, so we've had a few minutes to review the revised narrative. Any initial questions or concerns? Or Michael, did you want to go ahead and present?
Yeah, I can go ahead and present. So at the September meeting, we moved to defer Matt Ogata's application for additional documentations of A, B, C, D, E, and F. In competency A, there was a request for some more examples around objectivity and professional judgment, which he has added one example for each of those in this revised narrative. In B, we wanted him to indicate how he assesses some of those items that he mentioned, and then the overall impact to the company, which I feel that he has done. In competency C, it was a little bit slim on the details and didn't get too specific, so he has gone back and made some edits there as well. In competency D, we were looking for a little bit more discussions around the system, substantive testing, internal controls, analytics, and research, which he has added. Let's see. In competency E, there was a little bit of conflicting language in his inventory example, so he's gone in, made some edits there, and then also got much more granular with his discussions around risk within that inventory examples and getting more to the assertion level risk and risk assessment. In competency S, again, a little light, so he added some more examples in detail to provide a little bit more context with his examples. So, you know, overall, I really appreciate, as I mentioned before, Matt's willingness to integrate and update his application for all of our comments, and would love if there's any additional commentary. The nice thing is we have him on the phone, so if there's any one-off stuff, hopefully we can inquire with him on the phone while he's here.
Thanks, Michael.
So this is Casey. I really appreciate the updates as well. I'm still kind of struggling on D. Again, I don't know if it's just me, but, like, they use QuickBooks, but there's no discussion about the controls in the accounting system, which for me is, like, the soul of this competency, like, understanding access controls, segregation of duties within the system. Like, that, for me, is the crux of this competency. And so I know, you know, he added the analytical procedures, he added the research, which is great, but it still doesn't ever, like, I understand they use QuickBooks. They have, I think, four people in accounting. So, like, I mean, are there access controls on QuickBooks, or is the system open? Does he understand the internal control environment over the accounting information system? That's where I'm getting stuck on that one.
Yeah, so I think, like, how I interpreted that, and basically my experience limited with QuickBooks, is that there is no system controls, and so it is, you know, all kind of manual business process controls that you have to layer on with it. You know, and maybe Matt can add some commentary, but the, you know, inherent issues with that system is that there is none of those system-level controls, and they all have the back-end business process controls to address all those risks that you have in the system.
Yeah, I mean, this is Matt. That is correct. I mean, there's four of us who are able to log on to QuickBooks, and there are no access controls per se. I mean, we're all able to log in. We have access to everything. As far as, you know, money going out the door is concerned, we only have, of the four of us, only one of us is authorized to sign checks. So, I mean, we can all print checks, but none of us are able to sign them. It all has to be done by my supervisor, Kathy, on that aspect. But we have, you know, we have checks and balances for all of our processes, for all checks going out. They're checked over by an AP clerk, and then they're also checked over by me, and then checked over by Kathy before she signs it.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anyone else have any additional questions or comments?
Michael, this is Megan. Could you remind me on the specific detail on competency C, what feedback we gave the last meeting?
I think we had commented that it was a little light, and that it didn't get work paper specific.
Okay.
It was kind of a little bit more high level. It didn't really address, like, a specific work paper.
Okay, got it. So he's talking about analyses, et cetera, and making journal entries, but not the work paper. Okay, so then the cash flow statement edition really is okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
Have anything else? Yeah, I think so.
I'm ready to make a motion if that, additional commentary was sufficient for everyone.
I think, Ms. Casey, I think overall, you know, it's just one of those things that I struggle with. I feel pretty good about the rest of his application. It's just that that's such an important component for me because, you know, when you're in a larger organization, like, that is a huge part of the internal control system is just the system controls. But I appreciate that. I mean, you know, when the organization doesn't have that, you know, that he's able to recognize other mechanisms that they can put in place, other monitoring components. So, you know, I can argue with myself that he understands internal control and understands how to mitigate those risks. So it's probably more information that you need, but that's kind of what's going through my head at the moment.
Yeah, Casey, I think that that's a really, this is Megan, I agree. I think that's kind of a pragmatic approach to take to it. It's unfortunate that there isn't kind of a better system at play at the employer, because I think that we would all love to have this include something along those lines. But to your point, I think there's a good understanding of what it means to have restricted posting access or segregation of duties between who can record journal entries versus who can approve them versus who has custody to the cash or authorization to sign those checks. Just strictly from a cash standpoint, test of detail on a sample of bills. So there is some discussion. You know, I felt comfortable that, you know, the candidate does have a clear understanding of how transactions at the class of transaction level are kind of generated in the system and then are rolling up into the financials at a higher level. And then going through and kind of testing. So it's kind of that balance between when you're kind of at a smaller organization with QuickBooks, you probably have a lot of experience across a broad number of accounts, whereas if you're at a really large organization, you may be siloed into one very, like, you might do stock comp every day for your for your whole
career. Right, right. Absolutely, yeah.
But I appreciate where you're coming from. Okay. All right, Michael.
That's good. So I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Matthew Ogata has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing for OAR 801-010-0065.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Casey, I'll second.
And Casey, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you, everyone, for your flexibility and taking a quick hiatus to have an opportunity to review that in additional detail.
Thank you all so much. I appreciate your guys' feedback and your flexibility with all of this. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we're on to item 5, which is new business. We've got a few things to cover. Is everyone still doing okay on time? Let me start there.
Hey, this is Michael. Are we voting on anything else? Because if not, I was hoping that could drop off and connect with Sam.
So we can't have a discussion without you, Michael, but I don't know that any of this... Well, I don't know that any of it will take a long time or that that we couldn't move it to the next meeting if you wanted to.
Oh, no, totally fine. So you can go through
it. Okay, I'll make it quick. So thanks, everybody, for the thoughtful participation on the applications. I think this was a really good meeting. I think we had some good input.
for everyone there, which is, you know, I think along the lines, Casey and I have had some discussions on kind of increasing that participation and review and scrutiny on the applications, and I feel really good about the level of detail to which each of you went today from a reviewer standpoint, so thank you for that. So let's see, we had a few items in new business to cover. The QC annual report and the member roster and terms of service, which were circulated just this morning, just prior to our meeting. So I'm sure as you saw earlier in the period between our last meeting and now, we have had some folks move on to either other committees, other subcommittees of the board, or have, you know, taken the opportunity to resign. So. Currently we're at 8. Our program notes that we want a minimum of 7. And I think at our peak we've been up to about 12 members, etc. So if we kind of take a look at, in conjunction, the roster as well as the annual report that the staff has put together, thank you guys for doing that. Any kind of questions or comments, or Julie, did you have any prepared remarks that you wanted to cover?
I do, actually. So at the board's meeting in October, they reviewed a list of interested licensees for serving on the qualifications committee, and they've approved that list. So Kimberly has a list of recommendations, and we will be working on that. That's a top priority, because now we're down to 7 because Haley resigned this morning. Our goal is to get you back up to 11 as quickly as possible, knowing that we employ the buddy system for their first review. So if at all possible, we'll have at least a handful of new people appointed in the next week or so, so that when you get your next set of reviews for the January meeting, you'll have a buddy.
May I mention something real quick?
Yes, please.
Just so you're aware, I like to give as much notice as possible. I'm moving to Mississippi in August. And at that point, because I'll be starting a faculty position, I might be able to hold on until the end of my term, but I can't guarantee it. So just so that's in the back of your mind.
And when did you say that was, Casey?
August. That'll be August of 2020.
Okay. I appreciate the notice. We'll miss you.
I mean, my hope is that I can, but, you know, first year faculty is not pretty.
Well, you've done a great job from Texas, so.
No, thanks.
Julie, I've got a quick question.
Yes.
And at the top of the Qualifications Committee 2019 annual report document under committee membership, it notes that membership should include a variety of different industry representations, et cetera.
Yes.
And so we've kind of held ourselves to kind of 1 higher ed, 2 folks in private, and then the remainder to be in public. I don't know that that's the current distribution that we have. Is that a hard and fast rule, or should we note in there that there's some flexibility as long as we've got a nice variety and a well-rounded set of individuals representing?
I actually should look at, I know that the committee membership was just recently changed and adopted by the board. So I really need to speak with Kimberly and Angie Hunt, who is our board legal counsel, to get an updated, that may have changed. I know that, you know, many of the committees changed in terms of their required membership, and so that may have changed for yours as well. So let me check with them and see if that is different. I know that we do have representation from each of those areas, but I don't know that public accounting is our focus necessarily at this point.
Okay, that's super helpful. And then I think if we're going to potentially go back and ask those questions, wondering if it makes sense to include some parameters around for-profit versus not-for-profit representation, maybe some of each, or people with experience in both of those areas, and or governmental, or healthcare. I guess what I'm trying to do is think over the past 4 years of the variety of different applications that we've received, and I know it's nice to get one from a very specific industry to have a person on the committee who is familiar with that area, just because lingo and practices can be different. So it's just food for thought.
And that actually was the thought in the recommendations off the list, was to have a little, you know, like a representation from all different areas. I mean, even, you know, governmental accounting, and, you know, to make sure that we have some expertise that we can draw on. I mean, that is definitely one of the goals. Diversity in profession as much as anything else.
Yeah, great. And then the only other quick comment that I had is on that same line, whether it makes sense on the roster to include which industry or sector each of the committee members is representing, so that it kind of ties back to, so we can continue to monitor whether that mix, so to speak, is appropriate.
Okay. I'll work with Kimberly later this week on that. We spoke about it this morning already, so I know that that's on the front burner.
Okay, that sounds great. So moving along to the next item on the agenda, I guess before we move on, just making sure with the rest of the committee if there are any questions on the roster and or the annual report for the QC.
This is Ryan. I let Julie know, but my current term is up at the end of this calendar year, and it's my intent or desire to resign from the committee. Now, I understand, obviously, that I have a candidate today that we deferred, that would be deferred in January, and then obviously we're getting down to the minimum on the roster, so I'd obviously be willing to extend until at least Apeksha makes it through the process, and getting additional committee members. So I can be a little bit flexible, but it would be my desire to step down as well. So
thank you, Ryan.
So I can work, Julie, with you just in terms of, you know, when that makes sense.
I appreciate that. And, yeah, I'll reach out.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to leapfrog the next item, which is just talking about the 2020 calendar. So a couple of items I think to note, and I'm sure Julie's got some information to discuss as well. It looks like there are maybe a couple of changes. We're down to potentially 4 meetings from 5, and then the next meeting would be January 8th, which is 7 weeks from today, which means that new applications would be going out 1 week from today.
Correct. So I kind of alluded to this. The board reviewed 2 proposals for draft 2020 calendars, one with 4 meetings per year and one with 5. There was some discussion but no decisions made, and Stu may have a little bit more feeling on this, but we didn't get staff did not get the impression that the board was opposed to quarterly meetings.
That was acceptable.
Yeah. So we're anticipating that, you know, that'll be staff's presentation at this meeting, but until the board makes a final decision, we won't have a calendar to publish. If the qualifications committee has any issues with those 4 dates, though, this would be the time to speak up or to send an email very quickly. We're sending out the board materials probably Thursday or Friday of this week. And so we can still change those dates. Like if January 8th is bad, you know, for the majority of people, we could change that date. We just have to be aware of how it lines up with the proposed board meeting, you know, in time to get materials turned around from this meeting and to the board on time. So that's the only concern there, but it's flexible at this point.
Do you know how many applications we have in the pipeline for January?
2 so far.
She heard you.
Are you facing?
2, I'm sorry. We've only gotten two.
Two and then the deferral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it's not a heavy program.
Okay.
Yeah, so two new and three deferrals would be what we'd be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Do you have any objections to a quarterly meetings rather than five times a year?
I personally don't, other than if we get to a point where we have, 10 or 12 applications. I think we've had, I want to say, the heaviest quarter or heaviest meeting I remember, we had something like 14 applications and normally 7 or 8 reviewers. So if we are finding that the propensity to apply is building up and it's creating, I want to make this process something that's livable and easy for volunteers to continue to do, so that we don't keep losing our good members. It can be daunting if somebody's looking at 15 applications in the middle of January. To review. So that would be my only hesitation. And then the other thing is that some of these look like they're maybe close together. So it's like January to April, and then there's a pretty significant gap until the next meeting in August, and then is a meeting right on the heels of the August meeting. So maybe that's just being kind of, and I know a lot of that is dictated by the board schedule, and probably everybody's taking vacation in the summer. So it all makes sense to me. I just want to make sure that we're considering them.
We can't. Yes, historically we've had difficulty with QC meetings in July. Mm-hmm. No quorum, so postponing. So we did make that break. We can push the April 22nd meeting back a week if you'd prefer to, the last week of April. We've been asked to avoid the first week of the month by most of our private industry members, due to month-end closing. So we were trying to be aware of that. And then October could also move back. That October 21 could be pushed even into the first part of November if necessary, since the board doesn't meet until December 17th.
Okay, that's super helpful. Thank you guys for that context. I know that, probably not everybody has had a chance to really review their calendars. So if it's okay, maybe we can just each send you our feedback in a follow-up note. I'm trying to be thoughtful of helping get Michael back to his family too.
Yes, that would be great. If you could send an email with any other changes other than what we just discussed, if you could send that in an email to Stacy and I, not to the group, please, then we can make sure that any changes get into the board packet that goes out on Thursday or Friday.
Great, thank you. Okay, and then last but not least, we've got the MOU annual reports and program updates. So we did receive from each of the four entities that has an MOU with the board their updated statistics related to, participants for the year. So people who have entered the program, people who have completed the program, and then people who have resigned or withdrawn from the program. I had two quick observations. One, I think that last year, I forget if it was earlier this year or if it's been a year since we've gone through this exercise, but I believe that the staff that you had worked with each of the four respective organizations to kind of go through and make sure that there was consistency in their MOU and that they were addressing certain key components just to make sure that they were all lining up with respect to some of those areas. As a result, I was anticipating in their annual letters to see a blurb that noted when the last revision date of their MOU was and if there had been any changes since that date.
So I have a feeling they didn't notice their last revision date because they were all done just a couple months ago. They were asked to provide an update if there were any changes to the program at the time they did their annual reports, and there were no changes. But there again, it's only been a few months since most of them have been signed. I think two meetings ago, maybe you got some, and then last meeting you got a couple more. So I think there probably just have been no changes, but they were asked to provide those changes.
Perfect. Okay. I think, and I'm sure what happened is they just rolled forward their letters from the prior year. I think it would be helpful in those letters if they also included a paragraph that just said, hey, our most recent MOU is dated as of XYZ date and blah, blah, blah. That way, I think it could help us track that a little better. But other than that, the only other thing I noticed is that there were a couple that seemed to have quite a few people withdraw from the program. So I don't know that we... I don't know what that means for us as a committee, but I think one entity had like 9 people withdraw from their program, so that seems like a lot to me.
We can reach out to that program and ask for more detail if you'd like.
If I can just jump in, I noticed the same thing, and so I'm just curious. I think it'd be good just to follow up real quick. I was just curious, are those people that left that organization, or is there something that's not working smoothly for them in the program or something like that?
So yeah, I wasn't sure if it was, and with you, Casey, whether it was kind of cultural turnover or if it was, you know, whether there's appropriate selection being applied to the application process to get into the program.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Other than that, is there any action that we need to take on the MOUs? Or?
No, it's informational only.
Okay. Anything else from anyone on the line? otherwise, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Nope.
Great. All right, everybody, thanks for your time today. We'll adjourn Wednesday, November 20th at 12:03 p.m. Thanks, and we look forward to connecting again in January.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Have fun, Michael.
Take care. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Take care.